Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Scheduled to be joined momentarily by Nashville Predators general manager David Poyle. Looking forward to that conversation. Hockey 16 days away from being back on the ice, back in action for the Nashville Predators, and some moves being made recently by David Poyle and the Predators. Joe, we talked about it a little bit last week. Mikael Granlund back in the fold, signing a one-year deal with the Predators. And then over the weekend as well, Eric Halla, after we got off the air last Wednesday, joining the fold as well. So a busy time for the Predators. It's been an interesting offseason, a long offseason. I mean, that break that we had with them coming back for the return to play in August feels like forever ago at this point. So thankfully, we've got some hockey to get to coming up here shortly. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Nashville Predators general manager David Poyle. David, Merry Christmas to you and your family. Thanks for taking time to join us.
Thank you, guys. Same to you. Hopefully Christmas was good, and hopefully 21 will be back to somewhat normal. That's my hope anyway.
That's it. I think that's all of our hopes. And David, it's hard to believe that a year ago we were about to head over to Dallas for the Winter Classic. In some ways that feels like yesterday, in other ways that feels like a decade ago. Now that we've got hockey right around the corner, just what's this journey and process been like for you and your staff over the course of the past year?
Probably just like everybody else in their life, as I like to say, both on and off the ice. It's been difficult. It's been frustrating. It's again, selfishly, you just want to get back to, you know, what we had, you know, from your personal life and what you're able to do to obviously my job in hockey. I mean, it's really exciting that it appears that we got a really good chance to get back on the ice here. And, you know, I think it's obviously good for everybody. I hope good for the city. Hopefully we can use that as another area of people's lives that they can participate in. Hopefully we can get some fans in the building pretty soon. Hopefully the vaccine will get out there. So I'm pretty pumped because it has been a long, long year. It's been a situation where I think, even though we're not playing games, we've been working pretty hard, but it's been so hard to really, as I like to say, really complete a task. It's almost like we talk about a lot of things, and then, you know, the next day it's almost like you're back on the hamster treadmill again, doing the same thing. But, you know, a lot of things are very positive right now in terms of us getting back on the ice.
So, David, with Mikael Granlund, was that something where when initially, you know, it was expected he was going to part ways, did you think at the time maybe it'll come back around, or is it just how it sort of developed here recently? And then what does this do for you guys to be able to bring him back?
Well, you know, honestly, I think at the end of the day, as probably reported, it was a surprise that he came back. I mean, I felt the way things ended, and I think Granny felt the same way. It's just things just weren't going in the right direction. There was a really good spurt when we made the coaching change, where Granny played really, really well for us, and seemed like we and he were turning the corner together. The playing against Arizona wasn't perfect. I don't think he liked his role, if you will, and probably not necessarily happy with his contribution. So at the end of your meetings, it really felt, in talking to him and then Brian talking to his agent, that it'd be probably better if we went in a different direction. Having said that, I mean, which is kind of a good process for free agents, is they get to go out and talk to other teams and see their value and where their fit is. And good for us, Brian kept in contact with Granny's agent all along. And, you know, when push came to shove at the end, when finally it was time to make a decision, both parties felt that it was time to get remarried again. It's as simple as that. I mean, one of the big things that we have to work on with our team is our forwards overall, but specifically our second line just has not been as good as it needs to be offensively or competitively. And I really think with the changes that we made in the offseason, Granny now coming back with Hall, I think we got a lot of good, at least different prospects to play on our top two two lines. So he's a really good player. He works really hard. I know talking to some individual players, they appealed to us, I guess you would say, that Granny would like to come back. And so it's a popular decision within our room. And I think, again, put in the right situation, I think we might see Granlund play his best hockey that he's played since we acquired him from Minnesota.
Predators General Manager David Poile on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And David, obviously you mentioned it. Another move you make is signing Eric Halla, bringing him in. What kind of went into that signing, and what sort of a role do you think he could have with your group?
Well, in the off season, and when you get to free agency, I think you look at a lot of different things. I mean, we knew what we wanted to do and the changes that we tried to make. But again, part of our job is staying in contact with lots of people, and you could call it tire kicking, if you will. And we had a few calls with Eric Hall and his agent early in free agency, and he was looking for say a different amount of money or different term or what have you. To make a long story short, all of the symmetry or chemistry in this situation all came together with the potential of re-signing Granny and Halla, and Granny being the same age, being finished, playing in all a lot of junior teams. Olympics, World Championships together, Granny and he being best friends, Granny being, groomsman in his wedding. So, again, another player that is striving to bring some consistency to his career, that's striving to be a top six forward. He's very competitive. He fills a need in that he plays on the power play and penalty killing just like Granlund does. So a very versatile guy. And, really what we've done is we've created the competition and depth that I think is our job on the management side. I think it's really important this year in this condensed 56-game season with, back-to-back games, three games and four nights, four and six, that type of a more of a baseball schedule than I would say a hockey schedule. So I'm thinking that this depth and signing Granny and Halla really give us a lot more opportunities to be successful on a consistent basis this year.
So, David, you've talked about wanting to play a different way, be tougher to play against, maybe get back to playing how some previous teams of yours have played. How different do you think this team will play overall? And do you think that John Hines' influence will be seen more now after a full off season? Obviously, everything's been strange, but more time to implement everything and have more influence.
Well, I certainly hope on both fronts that's the case, but that we play not only differently, we play better. And there's no question in mind with John Hines and what he did in the second part of the season and some of the changes that he made, and then the fact that once again we've changed a couple of coaches, got a couple of new assistant coaches, getting Dan Hynote as a former player, somewhat recently retired player, that type of a voice and connection with our players. And then Todd Richards, which I think is a fantastic add to our team. Todd was assistant coach in Tampa Bay, who won the Stanley Cup. I've known Todd for a lot of years. He started with the Predators in Milwaukee as an assistant coach and worked his way up to being coach of a couple of NHL teams. And I think he and Hines, he would be a great addition to our staff, a great mentor for John Hines. And as far as the play, you make the changes, and until we really get our team together and see, honestly, we don't know. I think changes were necessary. I want to play differently. I think the fact that we have this schedule of playing back-to-back games, there's going to be the necessity of having more grit and maybe toughness in your lineup because of these rivalry. When you play teams in back to back games, it's usually a very very physical game. So I'm very hopeful that we've made the right decisions.
Predators General Manager David Poile on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And David, you've mentioned this team potentially getting younger as well, and two guys that come to mind for me anyway are Ellie Tolvanen and Philip Tomasino. Tolvanen, of course, a lot of hype around him when he first came over a few years ago, and Philip Tomasino having a heck of a World Junior Championship right now. As you look at those two guys specifically, what do you want to see from them in training camp, and what are your expectations for them heading into this camp?
Well, you know, training camp is not going to be ideal. And only having 10 days, I am sure the coach is thinking about what his lines are, what his team is. I don't think, again, honestly, that you can have a lot of experimentation. So these younger players, like Tolman, he's got to show what he's got right out of the gate. But having said that, and I think if I get an opportunity to, when I get an opportunity to talk to the team before the season starts, I'm going to ask everybody to be committed to be ready for their opportunity, because I don't think we're going to get through this season with just playing 20 players. And once again, I refer to how the schedule's a little bit condensed in the back-to-back games. I think there could be more injuries. You know, we still don't know where we are with, you know, exactly with COVID in terms of how that could affect our team or our season. So I believe that this is going to be a year where you're going to give lots of guys chances. I hope some of it develops in training camp, but these guys have to be ready for their opportunity. As you may know here, we have a roster that's 23 players, but because of the travel and the COVID, they're giving us a taxi squad situation, so we'll have six more players, which we're going to take advantage of that, and so we're going to have like 29 players on our roster. And you know, I guess in some ways, I hope we don't use 29 players, but I do really believe that it's going to be one of those seasons that we're going to need a lot of guys and different guys maybe for different teams. So I really hope the Tolanins and Tomasino, I will bring him in here after the World's Championship. I believe that they're one of the best teams, so I think he's probably going to go to the final. So theoretically, I think he would miss pretty much all training camp. But once again, he could be here. We could work something out for him, put him on our taxi squad, something like that. But I've watched the games. I like his play, and I think we'll bring him into Nashville when that's all over for the World's Junior.
Yeah, David, how's that taxi squad situation? How will that work out with the goaltending? And then beyond that, how do you feel about your goaltending situation right now?
They want us, I guess part of the transition rules here, to carry three goaltenders all the time, you know, obviously both at home and on the road. And once again, this is because of injury, because of the COVID possibilities. Our decision, because we'll have 29 players here, is whether we want to have three or four goaltenders. And then, yeah, again, just kind of going over all this situation, if we were playing well, our goaltenders were playing well and were healthy, I would probably want at some point to either switch out our third and fourth goaltenders to get them playing in Milwaukee, which is another asterisk because we don't know exactly what's happening at the American Hockey League level this year in terms of whether they're going to play, whether Milwaukee will be able to play. So there's just so many things going on, you know, right now, but, you know, goaltending is going to be key here with all the back-to-back games. I don't think any team is going to have success unless they have two goaltenders playing really, really well. So, you know, I like the competition that we have between Becca and Saros, and I really believe that, you know, I don't think there's such thing as everybody will play equal amount of games, but I do think both of them are going to get a reasonable amount of games based on the back-to-back situation.
David, last thing for you here. We had Philip Forsberg on the show a couple weeks ago, and he mentioned that obviously him and Johansson, Arvidsson, Duchesne did not have the type of seasons last year that are needed and that are expected of them moving forward here. Where do you think they are mentally right now, and what's your confidence level that those four guys specifically have bounce back years and are the players that you need them to be to have a deep and successful run here?
Well, you asked me earlier about John Hines' influence, and what he has had time to do is to talk to and meet with all of our players in this sort of longer off season. And our players, the most part, I'd say 15 guys, have been here for a couple of months practicing and getting ready. So there's been a lot of time to talk about the past and specifically talk about the future and where everybody fits in. So if I was a betting man, which I'm not, I would bet that the Yolfa line with these three guys, if John chooses to play them together, will be one of the better lines in the National Hockey League. And, you know, bottom line, that's what we need. I mean, if they are live up to their capabilities, they will pull along and make our second line better, and our second line will make our third line better. That's just how it works. I mean, the cliche for today is that, you know, if your best players are your best players in the game, you get a chance to win every night. And, you know, honestly, last year that was not always the case. So I think the challenge is there to Philip Forsberg and to Joey Harvey's and Duchesne, for example, as you call them, our top four forwards. I think they all know that. They all know their impact on our team and what their play means to us. So that's why I'm excited about the year. And now we've actually got to get out there and have a training camp and play the games to see exactly what we have.
Absolutely. Nashville Predators General Manager David Poile has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. David, really appreciate you taking time to join us. Hope you have a happy new year. And thankfully, we've got some hockey to look forward to.
See you guys in 21.
Absolutely. Bye-bye. Absolutely. David Poile has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what David Poile had to say there and also get the gauge of where Predators fans are right now. What are your expectations for this group heading into next season? That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thanks to Nashville Predators General Manager David Poile for joining us in the last segment. And Joe, lots of interesting stuff there. Number one, it's a kind of an unfortunate situation for Philip Tomasino and Eli Tolvanen. We've talked all year long and all offseason long about what their roles could look like. Obviously, that changes a little bit when Granlund comes back in. You sign Eric Halla in free agency. But with training camp being so quick, I mean, there's even more pressure, I think, on Tolvanen now to come in and impress right from the jump. Because Poile's right. Like, if you're preparing for a season, you've got to get your lines going pretty early into camp and get the work in at that point. So maybe some more pressure on Eli Tolvanen on that front. But Poile seems to be very pleased from what he's seen out of Philip Tomasino so far. And looks like the plan is going to be for him to at least start off in Nashville and just kind of see where it goes from there.
Yeah, and obviously Tomasino's doing great at the World Juniors. I think he's going to be a really good player. You know, the question is when. It's probably maybe not realistic to think that this season is when. But right. Yeah, like if he is up, like what is his role? I mean, Poile made the point multiple times there. You know, you got all these back-to-backs and everything, and so you kind of have to look at things a little bit differently in terms of using your depth. And then, of course, you know, just because you have to expect that you're going to have attrition and you're going to have COVID-19 issues and all these things. So, I mean, opportunity may be, I guess, more abundant because of that, but in a different kind of way. But like right now, what's your second line for this team is what? Because, I mean, like he said, if John Hines chooses to put those guys together, I mean, given all these circumstances, not to mention that they were so great last year in that brief postseason, I think that's a no-brainer. But what's your second line?
Right now, it'd probably Granlund, Duchesne, and Cunning would be my guess. I think Halla probably coming in to center the third line at this point. But, I mean, you could put Halla up on the second line, I guess. But if I had to pick right now, it would be, unless Tolvanen comes in and just blows you away the first few days of practice, my second line at this point is probably Granlund, Duchesne, and Cunning at that point.
So then, you know, what's Tolvanen's role if that's the case? What's Tomasino's role if that's the case?
It's hard to find one.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because certainly they want to be a grittier, more physical team. They've done some things to make that happen. They also, to me, like they need more offensive punch and talent. I think those two guys are different spots too, right? I mean, to me, Tolvanen, it's just way more urgent for him right now than it is for Tomasino. Tomasino, I think it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when's the right opportunity. But
yeah, like if you get anything,
Tolvanen's got to feel that urgency.
If you get anything from Tomasino this year, I mean, you almost have to view it as gravy at this point. Like, I think he's good. I think he's right on the doorstep of being ready for the NHL. I think he's going to be a really good player one day. But I agree. Like, Tolvanen is the one where you need to start to see it this year. Like, it's – I get it. It's different with everybody. You develop at different paces. And Tolvanen's still young. It's not like this is exactly what he is and what he's going to be. But I do think the urgency is much higher with Eli Tolvanen at this point.
It is, and I have another thing I haven't thought about as much until we talked to David, in terms of goaltending, but it really is. I mean, we talked a few months ago, like, does Pekarinen, does he think about hanging it up? Obviously, no. But also, like, those guys are both going to be so important just because of the way the schedule is set up.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a normal 82-game NHL schedule this year, it probably plays out like Saros gets 55-ish or something, you know? That would be my guess, right? Like, it would almost flip-flop from what it was 2 years ago. But, I mean, both of those guys are obviously going to have to get a ton of work.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be huge, and it's important if you're the Predators that Pekka comes in and bounces back. Like, I mean, I think the days of him being your full-time starter and you just, you know, riding him into the ground are gone, even in a normal season, much less a season like this, as compact and as compressed it is. But it's huge. Like, you've got to have Pekka come in and be able to play better than he did last year. And I did think, you know, towards the end, it was starting to get away from Pekka a little bit. And, you know, obviously Saros came in and played well, and then you have the pause, and everything gets thrown off after that. But it's important that he comes back in this year and gives them valuable minutes. He's going to be called on a lot this year, and you have to be able to perform well. So that's going to be a huge storyline to watch once training camp gets started. And the other thing, like, I'm wondering, if you're a Predators fan, what's your expectation for this group heading in? I mean, it's obviously a different-looking roster. There are players that you're very familiar with that aren't here anymore. Bonino's out. Turris is out. Watson's out. I mean, there's a whole lot of change on this roster. Craig Smith, a guy who's been here for a long time. And I put up this poll yesterday on Twitter, at RStanleyNHL, and just asked, with the roster as it is, the new divisional alignment for this season, what are your expectations for this team heading into the season? The options were they miss the playoffs, they sneak into the playoffs, they compete for the division, or they compete for the cup. And 59% of the fan base said sneak into the playoffs. 21% say they miss the playoffs. 16% say they compete for the division. And only 4% of the response say you're competing for a Stanley Cup with this team. So, if you asked this question a year ago, this poll looks a whole lot different than it does right now. It's an interesting kind of gauge of where this Predators fan base is right now.
I mean, the 4% there, we are talking like a blinding sunshine. I love it. I love it. Yeah, it's interesting to me. Like, let's say that, like, and that's exactly what I would pick too. I mean, I would pick that right now that this team sinks into the playoffs. You know, if that's the case, and let's say it's just another short stay, they get in, they have an okay year, you know, then how do you feel? Like, my question being, like, at what point is it like, okay, there's got to be a significant teardown, you know? I mean, we've talked about the window for years with, you know, especially after the run in 17, but, you know, how long is the window open? I mean, technically, it's still open. You still have the nucleus of that team, but it doesn't feel like we're in the window anymore. At least it doesn't to me.
It doesn't, and I mean, I think that's really fair to say that it doesn't feel that way. But again, like, all of a sudden, if Johansson and that line start playing the way they're capable of, if Matt Duchene comes back in and plays like we've seen him play in the past and has some chemistry with Granlund, all of a sudden you feel okay about your top six again. And I've said it many times in the offseason, as far as defensively this team is concerned, I feel better about this six on defense than I felt in a long time. I think Fabro is going to take the next step. I love the third pairing of Borowiecki and Matt Benning. Like, I feel great about their defense and that side of the ice and just how effective I think they're going to be. So I realize it's a gigantic if based on what we saw last year, and I'm not even saying that I'm banking on it happening. But if you get more production, more consistent production out of those four guys that we talk about all the time, and that is Forsberg, Johansson, Arvidsson, and Duchene, if they show up and play the way they're capable of playing this year, all of a sudden, I mean, you look at look around, this team's right back in it.
See, this feels like the discussion that will happen around August with Vols football. You know, it's that preseason optimism is building. But listen, I can't say you're wrong.
Not saying I expect it to happen. I'm just saying I think there's this illusion from the fan base that this team is just miles away. And I'm not sure that I buy that.
So what's your ceiling then? I mean, what is the best case scenario for this season.
Well, look, I mean, the best case scenario is those four guys that I talked about all play well, all play close to their career years, and then your offense is fine at that point. I still like their bottom six depth. Like I said, I think you know what you're going to get out of Yossi and Ellis. If Soros plays well in goal, if Pekka comes back and albeit in kind of a limited duty has a bounce back season, I mean, the ceiling is you're right back to competing for a division title and being dangerous in the playoffs. But there's a whole lot of ifs and a whole lot of things that have to go right, I think, for that to happen with this group.
Can you make a postseason run, like a real run, with this goaltending situation?
Sure. I mean, yeah, if Pekka's playing close to the way we saw him play a couple years ago, or if Soros takes that next step, you can, for sure. Like, I don't think it's totally out of the realm of possibility. Again, it takes a lot of things going right, and I'm not saying that I expect that to happen, but I think some people are viewing this as if there's just no chance for this group this year, and I just don't know if I feel that way.
And what you just laid out there, Robbie, I feel like the percentage chances of that happening went up this offseason with how they rebuilt the roster. You know, they do lack the amount of firepower of other teams, but we've seen in the playoffs the last few years that teams that are responsible defensively and have good goaltending can go a long way. I mean, just look at the New York Islanders last season. St. Louis Blues won a cup that way. Not saying that the Preds would do that, but the fact that they've beefed up the blue line, they've signed some players that are more responsible defensively at forward. I mean, who knows? I mean, that is a recipe that can have success in the postseason.
Yeah, like I think right now this team is more in prove-it-to-me mode than they have been in years past. Like I think, you know, after the cup run, after the run of the President's Trophy, you're looking at the team, you know how good they are, you know what the capabilities are with the group. And I think based on the last couple of seasons and the way things have been trending, the fan base is tired of the, hey, we know what kind of a group we have here. It's more in the, you got to prove it to me before I trust you again. And I don't blame them. I think that's exactly where I would be if I was a fan. I'm just saying that it's not a totally hopeless situation like I think some are making it out to be heading into this year.
Yeah. No, I agree that it's not hopeless. I think they've got to prove that they are going to be the grittier, tougher team and responsible team and all that. First of all, obviously, like you said, those guys have to have close to career years. Your top, those four guys in particular, like they all have to have really good, healthy, very productive years. I still like, I just wonder who's taking this team. And, you know, obviously the first step is to get in the postseason, but who's taking this team on a run, you know, in net at this point? I don't know. I mean, I frankly, I've lost some optimism about Soros, although, as you said, I mean, it's not like he couldn't take a step this year. And I just don't know with Pekka, it would be great to see him kind of rejuvenated and play with some great stretches. But I just don't know with him, you know, at this point. I think there's a big question about what he has left. I mean, it's just the reality of goaltenders at that age. Very few of them don't hit a cliff around this time.
No, I mean, look, there are a lot of questions to be answered for sure. And luckily, here in the next few weeks, we'll start to get some answers to those questions. Glad to have hockey right around the corner to talk about and to get back on the ice. And we'll continue to talk about it and monitor that in the coming days and weeks. And when we come back, we're going to switch gears, get back into the Titans, and revisit our poll question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter. What is John Robinson's biggest regret about the offseason? We'll discuss next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports joining us to begin the 9 o'clock hour, as he does each and every Tuesday. Lots of NFL playoff races to get to and to talk about, and we'll do that with Charles coming up at 9 o'clock. But first, Joe, right now, let's revisit our poll question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter. What do you feel is Titans general manager John Robinson's biggest regret from this past offseason? And the options are not hiring a defensive coordinator, the pass rush being worse, draft class, or letting Logan Ryan walk out the door. More than 270 votes so far. 40% of the vote going with the pass rush being worse. 38% going with not hiring a defensive coordinator. 14% saying letting Logan Ryan walk out the door, and just 8% with the draft class so far. Joe, I'm surprised that the draft class so far in our poll is as low as it is.
That might be as surprised as I've been about poll results right there.
That was my vote.
Because that's my
I picked the draft class.
That's my number one. How could only 8% say the draft class? Like, you had a first-round pick who has not just contributed nothing, has been, you know, like a negative distraction almost the entire season. Like, a first-round pick for a team that got the AFC Championship game, chance to have someone who comes in and makes a difference for your team, and you have less than, you know, a contribution. Not to mention, second round, I mean, maybe the third-round pick, Evans, starting to, you know, starting to have a little bit of a role, but that would be it.
Yeah.
Basically, Fulton had to play early, and, you know, I don't know. Did Fulton play well? He looked okay at times.
Right. Yeah.
He can run. Second round pick.
Yeah, I mean, you're basically getting nothing from your first two picks, and you've got nothing from your first three all year long. Like you said, Darrington Evans coming on the last couple of weeks. By the way, I did think he provided a spark in the return game the other night. I thought he looked pretty good on that area. But, yeah, I mean, the draft, you've essentially gotten nothing at this point. I get it. I mean, there's a lot to choose from if you're a Titans fan about John Robinson's offseason. And it's hard to ignore the pass rush. And maybe it's just the way that we're phrasing this, but, you know, I would include, you know, the draft class in the pass rush part of it. I mean, you talk about Isaiah Wilson not bringing anything. You know, that's a first-round pick that could have been used elsewhere and could have been used for immediate help in that area. So, I mean, it's not great. Like, the not hiring a defensive coordinator thing, I mean, yeah, I guess some of that's on John Robinson. A lot of that's on Mike Vrabel as well, as being the, you know what, we're not going to do that. We're going to ride with what we've got here. Shane Bowen, we'll give him some responsibility, some elevated responsibility this year. But I kind of put more of the defensive coordinator on Mike Vrabel. But for it to be as close as it is between the pass rush at 40% and the not hiring a defensive coordinator at 38%, obviously you're coming off a game and really a whole season where you've just been shredded on that side of the ball. So I guess I shouldn't be as surprised as I am that those two are leading the way that heavily.
Yeah, well, I agree. I think, you know, the not hiring a DC, I mean, I think Mike Vrabel has that freedom. I mean, I think if there's a regret for him, and obviously a coach doesn't have a bunch of offseason moves that you know, basically it's his staff, what he's doing with his staff. But I think that's more of a him issue. I think it's probably also going to be a little bit more of an organizationally, yeah, maybe we should have a DC in 2021. Yeah, and pass rush, obviously, I mean, pass rush in draft class, those two to me are the clear top two as I would vote them. And they are somewhat tied together, you know, but the pass rush being worse, the fact that you spent so much money on two guys who did nothing for you, you know, one you just released, one gets hurt and is done for the year. That's a strong, you know, that's a strong choice as your top one. But like you said, I mean, you also could have drafted someone and you're probably going to end up drafting, I mean, gosh, at least one, if not more, pass rushers in this upcoming draft. Logan Ryan, to me, I mean, I would have that last. You know, I think that Logan Ryan was a nice player for sure, but I don't look at this defense and say, man, if they had Logan Ryan out there, things would be way different. You know, I think their DBs, as they lined up the other night, are pretty good.
Well, Logan Ryan getting a contract extension the other day from the New York Giants, 3 years, $31 million. And that has creeped back. Like, look, every time the Titans get shredded, all of these topics come back up, but also, you know, Logan Ryan letting him walk. I think some people forget that Logan Ryan lately for the Giants been playing a lot of safety. And I don't know what safety you're bumping out to put Logan Ryan in if you're the Titans.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, Logan Ryan's a heck of a football player. And there was even last year, there was some talk about, you know, will Logan Ryan, is he one of those guys who's going to transition to safety? You know, you don't see it a ton. You see it sometimes. I think he's physical enough, and obviously he's a tremendously smart player out there. I mean, he's instinctive, makes a ton of plays, perfect for him. But yes, I mean, for what the Titans needed, they need cornerbacks who can run, and that's, I mean, where he got exposed last year. I mean, and so that Logan Ryan at $10 million a year was not going to be doable for the Titans, and I can't blame that decision. Now, I think the dealing of Jarrell Casey, to me, is I have a bigger problem with that, in part because, of course, it was all part of this plan of bringing in Clowney and everything that is just completely blown up in John Robinson's face.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coy in Clarksville texts in and says, J-Rob's biggest regret is wasting a first-round pick on Isaiah Wilson. Let me ask you this, Joe. Like, taking the rest of the draft out of it, and, you know, Christian Fulton and Darrington Evans and the injuries that they've struggled with this year, how big of a regret do you think just the first-round pick with Isaiah Wilson is so far with John Robinson?
Yeah, I mean, massive. You know, again, we've talked about it before it got to the point where, you know, he was not in the picture and had more issues. We've talked about, listen, if he ends up being a long-term starter over there and is your starting right tackle for a long time and he's a really good player, then, you know, then the evaluation changes. And that's still technically possible right now. But even if that does happen, depending on how this season ends, again, it was an opportunity to have an instant impact player. You first round pick, you expect to come in and start for you. I mean, that's generally the expectation in the NFL. You know, even that low in the draft, you know, get someone who can – sometimes you're drafting more for the future, and that was more of a pick for the future, although it was also – we thought, okay, Kelly, Wilson, they'll compete. You'll have nice depth this year. It will matter this year. I mean, the fact that you've got absolutely nothing, I mean, short of a real run here, you're just naturally going to look back at that and say, what could you have done differently? And maybe, again, maybe Isaiah Wilson turns everything around and makes it worthwhile. That is still on the table as a possibility. It just doesn't feel very realistic right now.
So, Ryan Porth, let me ask you, as you look at these options on the poll question, not hiring a defensive coordinator, the pass rush getting worse, the draft class, and the decision to let Logan Ryan walk. If you're John Robinson, what's your biggest regret from this past offseason?
Well, let me turn it around. What do you think I'm going to answer that with?
Well, I think you just based purely on your hatred for Vic Beasley, you're going pass rush.
Pass rush it is.
There you go.
Draft a pass rusher.
Is it because of Vic Beasley?
For the love of all things. Yes and no. I truly feel like the last 3 years they have undervalued the pass rush position when it comes to the offseason. That they've tried to cut corners, sign Cameron Wake, let's sign Vic Beasley to this one-year deal. They're taking these flyers on either overrated individuals or guys that are past their prime. Like, invest in that position. It is an important position. Even when Andrew Luck was the Colts quarterback and you had Deshaun Watson, and you had Andrew Luck and Deshaun Watson in your division, you have to get to the quarterback. And I just feel like they have vastly underappreciated what a good pass rush truly means in this league right now.
Well, now I will argue with you. They invested. They got into the Jadeveon Clowney sweepstakes with teams throwing almost 20 mil at the dude, and they got him signed. I mean, it totally didn't work out. But, I mean, that was not a move of, let's just go try to go cheap and, you know, and get somebody who maybe will rise up. I agree with you on the Wake and the Beasley signings, but Clowney was – let's go for it, and we're going to spend a big chunk here on someone who's, you know, supposed to transform or at least seriously help this defense. It just ended up being a terrible choice.
Sure, but how much does he help the pass rush specifically? I mean, his ML is being, you know, really good against the run.
A disruptor.
I don't know if that was necessarily a pass rush driven move to get Clowney.
I'll tell you this, Joe, Za'Darius Smith sure looked good the other night.
Well, that's right. No, and that's one of the guys that's gotta be a regret. And I don't know the nature of that pursuit or anything like that, but that's someone who would have been perfect. See, the thing with Clowney though, yeah, obviously 3 sacks last year. And you're right. We talked about that. It's much beyond that, but also, his best year with Vrabel in 17, he had 9.5. I mean, imagine anyone having 9.5 sacks. That's almost the entire team's total here in week 15. So that's still like good pass rush relative to what we're seeing. But yeah, I mean, he's not a pure pass rusher, never will be. And speaking of, and also, like, will he get paid 8 figures in a season again? I can't wait to see if somebody's gonna fall for that.
So Mike Vrabel was asked yesterday in his press conference about whether or not this defense is fixable moving down the stretch here. He had an interesting response. We'll talk about that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Kevin, is confidence an issue with this defense? I mean, when you have struggles as often as you guys have had, is it harder to get the guys to believe that you can improve?
No, guys, I think guys have a lot of confidence. It's not like we're on the sideline hanging our heads or anything like that. Guys are playing hard. We're just not playing great football. I would tell you if I felt like guys weren't playing hard or guys were taking plays off and still at it. No, guys are still out there playing hard, trying to win and trying to, you know, find success, but we're just not having it right now.
That was Titan safety Kevin Byard on another great question by our own Joe Rexroad after the game on Sunday night against the Green Bay Packers. They fall 40-14 in that game. And Joe, I hear what Kevin Byard's saying there, and I buy it. I think that they're playing hard. I think that the effort's there. I think that, you know, of all the things you want to question about this Titans defense, I don't really think the effort most of the time is one of those things. Like you said, I just don't know how often not playing with effort happens in the NFL. I don't know if I buy that there's no confidence issues. Like, when things go this poorly consistently, don't you as a human being have to be affected on some level in your confidence on that side of the ball when it's been this bad all season long?
Yeah, and this is – thanks for the compliment on the beautiful question, by the way.
You're welcome.
I'm sure even my voice alone probably cheered up Kevin Byard a little bit Sunday night. But in all seriousness, I asked Vrabel – on the confidence thing too, with the idea that we think of that in terms of in football, to me, more like the quarterback throwing the ball well, right? The receiver, you know, maybe having issues of the drops or not, you know, things like that. I think about it more in terms of skill, whereas when you talk about defense, it's more you think just about like effort, you know, playing fast and aggressive and knowing what you're supposed to do. But like, does confidence come into it? Is there a collective sagging confidence when like you just can't get stops and you keep giving up 3rd and 11? You know, I mean, it's an interesting question. I have to think there's some of that because how could you, we talk a lot about, like, is the offense mad at the defense? Or last year, was the defense mad at the offense early in the year?
Yeah.
When the defense knew they had to hold teams like under 17, which is still amazing to think about with this team. But what about just the defense and how they feel about it? I mean, I have to think there's some kind of a here we go again at this point with these guys.
I mean, there would have to be, right? And look, I'm not saying that just totally is how you explain everything that's happening defensively right now, that it's just a total lack of confidence. But I do think we have seen that, you know, confidence is important in pro sports. Like, if you're a team that maybe you're not quite as talented, but you're playing confidently, and that makes a difference on the field. And just based on, you know, the 15-game sample size at this moment, I just don't know how this Titans defense could be confident out there. And I hear what they're saying. I hear that you've got to say the right things in the media. But confidence, I think, is a huge issue right now, especially when you just look around at a game like Sunday night and the Packers, whether they wanted to throw it, they wanted to run it right at the gut at you, they did whatever they wanted to do. I mean, that's got to just destroy your confidence, what little I think was there for this Titans defense anyway. So to me, as much of a concern as you know, the defense as a whole is moving forward, that to me is part of it too, is just how confident is this group going to be down the stretch? And what, more importantly, like, what's it going to take to flip that around? Is it as simple as starting a game off and getting a couple of stops? Does the confidence just turn on at that point? Like what's it going to take to reverse that for this Titans defense?
Yeah, I mean, I think in any sport, you know, things can snowball either way. And they've had very little opportunity to get any kind of positive momentum going. I mean, they should be more confident in, like, the coaches should be more confident with Adoree Jackson back, that they can do different things, that they can be more aggressive. We've talked about that before, you know, that they can hold coverage a little bit longer, you know, and try to give whatever they're trying to do to affect the quarterback a chance to happen. But then, like, how do you feel good about that? You know, who do you feel good about right now actually doing that? I mean, what they really need, and they've needed and they still need, is like someone to just emerge. I mean, David Long, I think, has done a nice job, you know, coming in for Jayon Brown, and he's at least active. And Vrabel actually had some really nice things to say about David Long's play yesterday, which, again, is not a very common thing from Vrabel. But they need like a Wyatt Ray, you know, who did have a big sack, you know, to go on a tear. Like last year, even like with a solid defense, but they had some injuries, Roberson comes in and gets three sacks in a pretty limited amount of time, you know. That's what you need. You need the next man up kind of thing. They've had that somewhat with the offense. You know, you put in Jeff Swaim, all right, he's making plays. Michael Pruitt can make plays, you know, but it's like defensively, they just haven't had anybody come in and surprise. And at this point, that's about all that there is left. And there's just some personnel realities that I don't see them overcoming.
So we've talked a lot about the defense, the struggles so far this season, and just how, quite frankly, terrible it's been at times. And the question going down the stretch is, if you're going to make any run in the playoffs, how do you fix it? How fixable is this defense truly? And, Joe, you asked Titans head coach Mike Vrabel about that yesterday in his press conference. Here's what Vrabel had to say.
I think confidence plays a large part in, you know, in everybody, in everybody, every position. I don't think that has to just be, you know, like you alluded to, offensive skill. I think that confidence is something that has to be, you have to go out there and show it and prove it. And then it carries over. So, you know, we'll keep working. And there's a lot of those things that I know that are fixable. There's a lot of examples of good football in all three phases. And then again, when you play the game and you get beat, you know, nobody did a good enough job. And I think that now you start back over and you work throughout the week and prepare and you go into the game with the confidence of having made plays in practice and executing the plan and then head into the game, you know, with the confidence and the momentum that you tried to build throughout the week. So we'll have to have a great week of practice and be ready for an opponent that, you know, we haven't seen in a few weeks.
So, Joe, I hear what Mike Vrabel's saying there about how, you know, you can point to certain examples in games where there are definitely things that happen on the field that are fixable. And I'm not sitting here saying that every bit of the Titans' struggles defensively is just because they don't have a chance out there and that there's nothing they can do about it. There are certainly situations you can point to where they made the wrong read or took the wrong angle on a tackle that you can fix those things. But my question is, if there are overriding themes of this defense that are fixable and that can get better, and we're 15 games in at this point and they haven't gotten any better, what leads anyone to believe that this is going to get fixed coming down the stretch here, both this week and if you win this week heading into the playoffs for sure?
Yeah, well, there's no reason to have much confidence in that. But if it's going to happen, then it's on the Vrabel side of things to me. It's on Vrabel, Shane Bowen, and all those guys to have plans and play calls and perfectly timed pressures that work. I mean, that's the, you know, they've got to make some magic. And, you know, you talk about confidence. I mean, I think that a lot of the last 2 years of this defense, that the personnel wasn't all that different from what it is now, was a lot of confidence in Dean Pease, in his plans and how he explained them and how he put guys in position to make plays. And of course, obviously his game day, you know, play calling too. I've had multiple people say, like, you know, he was just had an incredible feel for calling the right thing at the right time, but a lot of confidence in him from the players. And clearly, I mean, there's no defensive coordinator for them to even be confident in this year. So I think that's a big thing. But to me, the only fix, other than Adoree Jackson, again, I mean, it should make it better. You know, they should be better back there. They can match up better, but the fix is from the coaches. I mean, they've got to come up with some stuff that works.
You know who we've got a lot of confidence in? Our man Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. A lot to get to with him coming up next. NFL playoff races, the MVP race in the NFL, all of that coming down to the wire here in Week 17. We'll talk about it next with Charles Robinson. This is Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.